Welcome to the Pope Adelaide Media Studio podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this experience, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotr.com.
Let's go ahead and pray. God, we ask that you will bless the men today who are fathers. Bless the women who support and sometimes have to play both roles. We thank you for mentors, and we thank you for those who have literally understood because you came down. You came down as Joseph's adopted son, and so I think you was teaching us the spirit of adoption. Thank you for what you're going to do today. We bless you, Lord, for closed doors that promote us. I mean, open doors that promote us and closed doors that protect us. Forgive us for any emotional outbursts that do not masquerade as a faith experience. But let our worship be real. Let it be in spirit and in truth. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God will indeed last forever. Amen. We're going to start this morning's service out of the Old Testament, 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter. That's 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, starting right there at verse 1. I'm going to skip around a little bit, and we'll end at verse 24. Sometimes in the Old Testament, you got to read a little bit more so that you can get the context of the story. Amen. Here in 1 Samuel, starting at chapter 30, verse number 1. There we are. Here in the NIV version, these words are recorded. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no more strength left to even weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in the spirit because of his sons and his daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Amalek, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. David and the 600 men with him came to the Besor Valley, where some stayed behind. 200 of them were too exhausted to cross the valley. Everybody not going to be able to go. But David and the other 400 continued their pursuit. They found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David. They gave him water to drink and food to eat, part of a cake of pressed figs and two cakes of raisins. He ate and was revived, for he had not eaten any food or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. Y'all still with me? Amen. David asked him, who do you belong to? That's a good question for men. Who do you belong to? And where do you come from? He said, I am an Egyptian, the slave of Amalekite. My master abandoned me when I became ill 3 days ago. We raided the Negev of the Kerethites, some territory belonging to Judah, and the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag. David asked him, can you lead me down to this raiding party? He answered, swear to me before God that you will not kill me or hand me over to my master, and I will take you down to them. He led David down, and there they were scattered over the countryside, eating and drinking. They're having a good time. They got all their stuff, reveling because of the great amount of plunder that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from Judah. David fought them. Make sure. He led them down, scattered, drinking. David fought them from dusk until the evening of the next day. And none of them got away, except 400 young men who rode off on camels and fled. God always has a credible witness when he makes a great move like that. Somebody had to tell the story. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken, including his two wives. Nothing was missing, young or old, boy or girl, plunder or anything else they had taken. David brought everything back. Just four more verses. He took all the flocks and the herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, saying, this is David's plunder. But then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow him and who were left behind at the Besor Valley. They came out to meet David and the men with them. As David and his men approached, he asked them how they were. But all the evil men and troublemakers among David's followers, the evil men, so some men were evil that took the stuff back. Okay. Because they did not go out with us, we will not share with them the plunder that we recover. However, each man may take his wife and children and go. David replied, no, my brothers, you must not do that with what the Lord has given us. He has protected us and delivered into our hands the raiding party that came against us. And the last verse, who will listen to what you say? Your credibility is already shot anyway. The share of the man who stayed with the supplies is to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle, and all will share alike. I thank you for your patience in that long reading, but I think it gives it some context for you. And I'd like to speak from the subject today, when loss positions you for greater commitment. When loss positions you for a greater commitment. All right? When loss can do that, unfortunately. My brothers and sisters, I think I can say, without the fear of successful contradiction, that in order to understand manhood, you must first have godly integrity. That's the first thing you have to do. You can't read about manhood in a book. There's no instruction manual out there on how to be a man, especially in this society. A society that will tend to oppress you. A society that can get away literally with murder. A society that can take a hold of your very manhood, do everything in its power to emasculate you and get you in position where you will believe the hype that you're really not as good as what you were designed to be. That's a fantasy. And that's a place that can get inside your mind, and it can get inside your psyche. It can become your new normal if you aren't careful. You'll start dressing not masculine. You'll start wearing your hair a little bit different. You may even put mascara on. I don't know what you may do, but it will turn you completely away from the masculinity that God has placed inside of you. I've got the Bible, the first book. He told Adam. He delegated to Adam. He said, name these animals. You're going to have dominion over them. Yeah. And if he's going to give you dominion, if I can back up a little bit, he also said, I didn't create you in the image of a caterpillar. I didn't create you in the image of a scaredy cat. But I created you in my image. Yeah. I created you in the very image of the creator of everything. Yeah. So now if you can walk with that authority and get that in your mind, my brothers, if I can emphasize, I pray that you understand the power that you have. Wow. You can't legislate and remove God's power. Yeah. You can't push and hide things in Congress and dismiss God. Because God's sovereignty is so powerful, if you believe in it and have faith in it, it will prevail. I promise you, that will be the case. Yeah, you have to have godly integrity, and it's important to have a relationship with God that is the most important relationship in your life. It's more important than any relationship. Because that's how you gain access to be able to fellowship with God, who can lead you through the vicissitudes, through the dangers of life, and put you in position no matter what comes your way. You can stand tall and walk through fire and not smell like smoke. I'm telling you what I have experienced. And if I can quote John Wesley, Anglican priest, started the Methodist movement, he said, give me 300 men who fear nothing but God, hate nothing but sin, and are determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and we will set the world on fire. Yeah, well, just give me a few good men to get me into that place. Yeah. But life isn't always an easy thing, is it? No. Every now and then, if you keep having birthdays, yeah, one in front of the other, you will experience a loss sooner or later. Yeah. And what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about losing some change out of your pocket. I'm not talking about, we sometimes can take the easy losses and pretend that we godly, but that ain't hurt you. That didn't do one iota. But I'm talking about when you take a loss so riveting that it shakes you to your very core. I'm talking about a loss that you didn't see coming. And it seemed to hit you out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden you're rocking and reeling, getting into a desperate situation and a desperate place, and you might even question, God, where are you now? I need you to intervene in this stuff because I'm in some trouble and I'm in some mess right now, and I need you to come on out and give me some help. Have you ever lost a loved one? Have you ever lost? Loss is a terrible thing. Have you ever, those that have gone through divorce, have you lost? Yeah. Have you lost a job? Have you ever got a pink slip in your life? Have you ever lost something? And the thing that I want you to understand is, I don't think loss in and of itself is a bad thing. Because what it can do some self-correcting in a man's life. Because every now and then, if I can use a basketball analogy, some people you can be up 3-1 one year and come back and take it all the next year. Yeah, you can do that. Kevin Durant's a member of Reed Temple. I had to throw a plug in. You can do that. Yeah, I had to get that one in. I'm sorry. Y'all come on back with me. Come back. But can I just throw this quick point out to you, that I believe that most people can mess up something good by looking for something better just to end up with something worse. You got to be careful there. You got to be careful. You got to look at that. Yeah, because David and them had it going on. David had, who was closer to God than David? It wouldn't be men's day we talk about David, because we can relate to David getting in all kind of mess and all kind of stuff. David was, should have been out the war. He's looking at Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop. This is the David that, God said, don't count the people. This is the same David that when he messed up, this is why he was after God's own heart. He would get down with a contrite spirit, and he would say, Lord, please don't take your hand from me. Whatever you do to me, don't ever remove yourself. This is the David. When he lost a baby and he prayed and fasted day and night, and when the Lord took the life of the baby on this side, David just got up, worshiped, and ate. This David had a relationship with God, and he was a man of integrity with God. So therefore, whenever David had a loss, it was a temporary situation. Can I say that every loss is not necessarily a permanent thing? There are some losses. We look at the worst of it. We think, oh, my God, I done lost that. It's done. I'm out. I'm not going to ever recover. We get tore up from the floor up. Ain't nothing worse than a brother that's looked down and out. Starts cutting his hair, beard just goes unkept, clothes are dirty. Yeah, but not y'all don't see men like that in Redeemer. But I'm talking about brothers, they are really so stressed out, they don't know where their help is going to come. So a loss is temporary as long as you have integrity and a relationship with God. Yeah, with God. Yeah, the great theologian that I admire so much, Howard Thurman, says, don't let a bad moment define the rest of your life. Wow. In other words, don't let a bad day make you feel like you have a bad life. That's just a tiny piece. If you've been around 30, 40, 50 years, you had a bad day and a bad week, who wouldn't like those odds? Those are some good odds, aren't they? Yeah, you done lived around here 70 years old, done had a bad week, a bad month. That's some good stuff right there. The odds are on your side. Trust me on that. And I want you to understand that when David and these cats was down at in the Negev, they had some threat. They heard some threats coming their way. They heard some alternative facts over the, they heard the Amalekites were coming to them. And you know, the Amalekites were some bad mamma jammers. Let me tell you, they were better than Baltimore. They got the ghost-faced gorillas down there. They were worse than them. They some of the baddest cats around. You think the Christian blood knows them? Go to Baltimore and mess with them ghost-faced gorillas. They were worse than MS-13. Whenever the Amalekites say, I'm coming to get your stuff, you said, no, wait a minute, here it is. I don't want to, here's all of it. Is that enough? I can go get some more stuff to give it, because they were some bad jokers, them Amalekites. You ever had the enemy come to you like that? Where the enemy comes at you like a flood, and you look around and you think to yourself, oh, my God, here they come again. Amalekite could look like the IRS notice in your mailbox. That's what an Amalekite can look like. The Amalekite can look like, oh my God, I'm sweating. I just got stopped by the police. Is everything in order? Am I clean? An Amalekite can come in a flashing light where one moment you're living the life of luxury and love, and the next moment we're reading about your case to see if somebody gets off one more time. The Amalekite can come at you in a relationship that God did not ordain for you. The Amalekite can come in ways that you least expect. So if you don't have your spiritual eyes looking at that joker, if you don't have your mind stayed on Jesus Christ, that Amalekite will ambush you. That Amalekite will take everything you got. That Amalekite will come in and literally rape your land and pillage your stuff. And there you are left, rocking and reeling, trying to figure out what happened to my stuff. Yeah. What happened? What happened to my stuff? And here we see that this is exactly what happened to David, because while they were there, they did, the Amalekites came and did the unthinkable. They took everything. They took the gold, the silver. They took everything. Didn't touch the holy stuff. Because the ephod, we're going to talk about it later, remained in the camp. Isn't there something? The devil can come and get your stuff. But if your stuff is holy, ain't going to touch that. That lets me know I got to get my stuff, my holy stuff, in order. If my stuff is holy, he ain't going to want that, because something holy doesn't do the devil any good. So now here he comes down, and he's looking around at himself at what they can take. And, of course, there's the women, and there's the children. And you can mess with a whole lot of things for a brother. Don't touch his woman or his money. Yeah, that got the attention of David. It got the attention of the brothers, and that got them angry, and so they burned down everything with fire, and the men with them, it said that they were in so much pain and so much anguish that they cried so much they didn't have a whimper left to cry any longer. Yeah, they were down at a bad place. It's hard to commit when you're in that place, isn't it? That's a tough place to commit. When you're in that spot. But look at what happened. David was greatly distressed, because now the people will usually don't look introspectively of what we did to cause that. They always look to the leader. Yeah, they look to the leader. I said they went one pay grade down, because this is God that allows. Y'all that might don't want to get stoned in here. But it's God that allows the enemy to come in to take your stuff. It wasn't David, it was God that allowed. But they did have the sense not to challenge God on this. So they started with David. And what a great lesson on leadership that David shows us, brothers. You're going to get criticized. I don't care who you are and what capacity you are in. The question is not the one criticizing you. The question becomes, how can I chew the meat and spit out the bones? Because every criticism is not bad. There is something called constructive criticism. It's just that we have our PhDs in destructive criticism. And we got to turn that thing around so that we're able and willing to talk to somebody, to not to destroy, but to edify. David must have had this lesson in tow. Because when the enemy came, you can't go down to Walmart and buy a self-help book to get you out of trouble. It might even be hard for you to even open up your Bible at that time, because you're so distressed and so depressed that it don't even seem like your prayers just hit right at the wall and can't go any further. But David does something, I'm going to tell you, brothers. He says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. Whenever you're weak, can I throw it out quickly? Whenever you can't move, whenever you are so distressed you can't move the curtains out of the bedroom, whenever depression is all over your body, that's when God does his best work. Somewhere I read, whenever we're weak, that's when he's strong. And I like a God that can stand up strong when I can't stand up any longer. I like a God that is able to stand so tall inside of me that I can begin to look over the very things that look like giants when they came at me. But when I strengthen myself in the Lord, they look like grasshoppers walking down the street. Yeah, just a little bit further here. And you know, understand that the enemy's job is to distract you from attaining the power that is yours by being a son of the living God. He's trying to not let you know who your daddy is. It's Father's Day. The enemy don't want you to know what kind of power your father had. The enemy doesn't want you to know that if you call on him in the midnight hour, he can make that thing work out for you.
The enemy doesn't want you to know that if you just get on your knees and say, God, help me, and make a covenant with him, he'll get you out of that mess, and you'll move from a deficient position to a place where you're ready to have more of a commitment in ministry. I'm slow walking. And then David, after he strengthened himself, you got to do something else, brothers. And David told the priest, he said, bring me the ephod. That's good. Let me tell you why that's good. Because after he had strengthened himself with God, he knew that there was a holy thing. Remember, I told you the enemy couldn't touch it. What is the very thing that they couldn't touch? That's the thing I want. Because that represents the holiness that I'm going to need in order to get through to get my stuff back. So bring me the ephod. Wrap it on me. I can see David putting the ephod on. Now the people still wanted to stone him. So that lets you know if you're in a leadership position, don't distract yourself. Just continue to put on the ephod and continue to look straight ahead at God. Don't look to the left or to the right, but keep looking and keeping your focus on what the Lord is telling you to do. And while he was yet focused on the Lord, he began to have a little talk with Jesus. They said, tell me, it makes everything all right. It said that he got down and asked a question. He didn't say, God, this is what I think we should do because the Amalekites, I could go around. I have a military strategy that can get to them. No, he just said, God, what shall we do? That's all he asked. Shall I go after them? What are we going to do, Lord? I mean, the people are trying to stone me. The enemy have my stuff. My wife's are gone. I don't have resources to even fund a military battle. The only thing I have is you, oh Lord. So I need you right now to come down into my situation and to help me to fight and to help me to walk and to help me to get my stuff back. I need you, Lord. I'm committed to you, God. I am your man right now. No matter what it looks like behind me, no matter what it looks like in front of me, the God in me is greater than he or she that is in the world. So I'm glad that God will walk with me through my stuff because I think he's training me to understand the loss can't take me out. He's letting me know that if I continue to give him his glory, continue to worship him, continue to call on his name every now and then, he's going to help me to get my stuff back. Yeah, he's going to help me. He's going to help me to get my stuff back. And can I let you know that on the way, when the Lord says, pursue them, isn't that God don't have to be long to be eternal? He just said, pursue them. David, smart enough to understand, mama tell you something, you might have to get a spanking to get it the second time. But when Almighty God gives you a command, don't stop, don't pass go, keep right, just listen. And David gets the men together. Gets a whole group of men together. Y'all know how hard that is. Getting a bunch of men together to move on one accord. When they got there was a couple of them brothers were too tired to make it over. Oh, yeah. Everybody, I remember I told you at the beginning, everybody can't do it. So David said, look, stay right here with the supplies because I don't want no weak jelly-backed dudes going with me in the battle. I need some men who can stand up and know that it's not their strength that's going to get the victory. But because they know the God they serve is a God that never lost a battle. Daryl, this fight's fixed, isn't it? So now that they walk on down to the place, I think I feel my help right there. So they went right on in, and he left some of them there. And then they found an Egyptian, someone in a weakened state. Can I submit to you that sometimes on your journey to recover your stuff back, brothers, your help will come from a peculiar place. Because some men won't quite get the lesson. God doesn't want part of you to submit to his will. I'm sure there was a few of the men that when David said, "Who with me?" they stood strong. But there was probably a little unbelief in a few of their hearts. So God will make it even worse. Has God ever made the situation worse? He sends a weak person who hasn't eaten for days, who was an indigent servant to, had cast him and left him for dead. And when he got to that place, David said, "Who are you and where are you from?" Yeah, for every brother in this house, you should be able to answer that question. Who am I? You should be able to say that you are a child of God. You should be able to say that you fire baptized, Holy Ghost filled. You ought to be able to say, "I'm saved by the living word of God. I know him in his suffering of that cross. I know who I am. Where am I from? I was created in his image." We can start there. But I know who I am and I know where I'm from. I might be in a weak spot right now. But if you just give me a little while longer, I told you early in the sermon that it's a temporary condition. So when he is in this temporary place, he becomes David's GPS system, guides them straight down into the Amalekites' camp. Now, what did we find down there? Yeah, what did we find down in that place there? Lord, have mercy. They up there riding around, driving my car, listening to my radio. Yeah, got my wife on the side. Yeah. Done dressed her up and ride around. Got my kids bringing him ice water out of the refrigerator. He's got my podcast in his ear. In fact, he's even got that's my laptop. That's my checking account. That's my checkbook. He's got all of my stuff. And not only do they have it, but they having a party. They up there, they got the DJ cranking hard. They spinning records. They scratching records. They up there doing everything they could do to party because they think they won the battle. But when David comes down to the battle, y'all know what happened, don't you? They say he fought them all day and all night. And when he fought them all day and all night, David knew that God said, "Pursue them. Go on and get your stuff back." And I can tell you that party was over quick, wasn't it? That party was over quick. Because when when they started fighting, they got not only their stuff back, but they got their stuff now. Some people were saying, "It's a cliche, you get double for your trouble." I think that's limiting. God will give you everything. He'll give you more than double. That's limited thinking. That's limited thinking. God will give you your stuff and more stuff, but not just so you can have stuff. He's reaching down inside of your manhood. And he's saying, "Now that I've delivered you, I want a commitment." I'm going to let that sit in your spirit for a minute. I'm going to let that sit for a minute. Because it's so easy to forget the one that delivered you. Yes, easy to watch game three than it is to come to Bible study. It's easier now that I got my stuff back. I have amnesia. I forgot what it was like when I didn't have it. But now that I got it back, I might be a little lackadaisical in my worship. I might not give it all to him now because I got my stuff back. But God is reaching inside of you and saying, "I want a deeper commitment. I want a stronger commitment from you." Now, here's what happened. We're getting ready to go home in a minute. When he's going down to come back, he got all their plunder. They got all their stuff. The ones that went down with David, they see the brothers they left behind. Now, these brothers done been through a war, through a battle. They got scars on them. They have been hurt, and they've gone through the sweat of their brow through battle. And they understand the type of sacrifice that it took for them to get through battle. And now here go these cats. They sitting up looking at cable TV, looking at their watches. When they going to come back with our stuff? And that's a hard place when you done worked real hard to get it back. And these jokers over here look like they lounging in the jacuzzi. But David, who had a relationship with God, I did say he was a man of a godly integrity. David took that opportunity to give them a teaching moment. Not only does God bring us your stuff back if your mind is on him, but God will also bring you to a deeper commitment and show you how to take care of your brothers who didn't quite have the faith. They didn't see it the way you saw it. But I don't want to save just y'all. I want to save everybody. Because if I'm going to give you all of your stuff back, I want every soul that can call on my name to come back. Not just because I remember when you didn't have that type of faith. I can remember when you didn't call my name. I can remember when you gave me a willy-nilly half-baked hallelujah. So now all of a sudden you got spiritual amnesia? You done forgot? Come on and get your man. We don't lose any men around here unless they want to be lost. And then guess what? We still go get them. Yeah, we still go get them. Oh, I feel like going on home with this thing now. Here's my conclusion. If you're not hungry for God, I believe that you're probably full of yourself. You can't have a relationship if you're so full of the earthly stuff, if you're so full of material things, if you're full of having a Holy Ghost party without the Holy or the Ghost, if you're full of just getting things and acquiring things, you ain't fit for the kingdom. That's the 11 o'clock sermon. You got to make sure that you got your stuff in order. Don't lose your mind over the job you lost, because you are going to need your mind for the job that's coming. Don't lose your mind over the house you lost. You're going to need your mind to put you in position to be committed to get a better job. Get your credit in order so that you can get a better house. Don't lose your mind, because you're going to need it for what's coming. You don't need a crowd to praise the Lord when you're going to get your stuff back. You can give him glory all by yourself. David said, bring me the ephod, and I'm going to ask a question. Are there any brothers in the house that are ephod wearers? I just want the ephod wearers. There might be a couple of hundred that need to stay back right now, but I'm going to call on the ones who know to call on the one who can help you get your stuff back. Anybody in the house want their stuff back? Yeah. When they are talking about you, remember they wanted to stone David. When they wanted to kill David, David said, bring me the ephod. Strengthened himself in the Lord. Marched right on down into the enemy's camp and got his stuff back. Don't sit around crying long as you have a pity party. God can't get to you, because God don't dwell in pity. God dwells in praise. Turn that pity into a praise, and I believe it'll shake the foundations of heaven. He got to look over the banister now. He got to say, my son in trouble? Who done mess with my children? I'm going to help them to get their stuff back. So I have to get over the guilt. I have to get over regret. I have to get over grief so that I can hear from the Lord. Because when you praise the Lord, it changes your mood, brothers. It's changed your Kleenexes for a victory lap. That's when you know that you're on the right track, because God has been good to you. You got to be good to him. I may have lost a little money, but I still have God. Men of God, it's time to pursue. It ain't right to be sitting around worrying and crying. I'm not talking about whether Kevin Durant made a weak move. I'm talking about whether or not Kevin Durant's the champion. You can debate it all day long, but at the end of the day, when he holds up that finger right there, there's a ring on that finger. You can be a fan or not a fan, but I want to talk to some champions now. some that have been down and out in life. I want to talk to some champions now to know that I can win this thing with God on my side. How can I lose with God on my side? We're going to go ahead and get through it. We can't sit around crying about what this oppressive institutional system won't do for us. We can't sit around talking about what white folks won't do, what black folks won't do, what the Jews won't do, what the Muslims won't do, what 45 won't do. But I need some brothers in the house who can focus and concentrate on what the God they serve will do in your life. I want my stuff back. And in order to get my stuff back, I don't need to borrow no money. I don't need to write for a loan. All I need is a word from the Lord. As they were crying for their stuff, God was setting up the solution. While you were weeping, God was putting things in order. While you were down in the dumps, God was setting you up for a comeback that will turn into a come up. All he wants for you is to put on a garment of praise. That's your ephod. Men, where are your ephod? It's Father's Day. Go ahead and walk proudly now. You haven't seen that kid in 10 years? It's time to do a reconciliation in a radical way. Y'all better pray for me today because I feel like giving him glory. Get on up and go after it. This is the word for the Lord at the 8 o'clock service. Get up and go after it. No matter what it looks like, the devil can grab it, but he can't keep it. Get on up and go after it. You thought you lost it, but it's in safekeeping. Thank your enemies for keeping your stuff in working order, keeping it shined and ready. So when you get it, can I prophetically say, you will be in better position to handle it in a better place? Because God wants a more of a commitment. Get rid of all that stuff that's holding you back. Don't worry if somebody dancing with your stuff. Don't worry, because one day, if they got it illicitly, it ain't going to hold on to it long, because God will redeem your suffering. But I hear the word say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, 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 joy will come in the morning. I feel the Holy Ghost. It's still mine. I still have title. It's mine. It's all mine. I'm not a touch your brother preacher, but touch your brother right here. Say, I'm getting it all back. In fact, the comeback is always stronger than the setback. And I feel like clapping back at the devil right now. He thought he had my stuff. I want my joy back. I want my peace back. I want my family back. I want all of my neighborhood back. I want my children back. I want my praise back. I want my happiness back. God said it's yours. Don't dance with my stuff. Don't rejoice with my stuff. It's mine, and I'm going to take it back. Is there anybody in the house who understands that you don't mess with the man of God's stuff if he has godly integrity, if he has a relationship with God? Men of valor, stand up with me and just begin to holler and let the Lord know that, Lord, we thank you for giving us the understanding that you want a deeper commitment. It ain't the stuff I lost, but it's the power I've gained through a God that never left me, through a God that never forsake me. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for the enemies because they blessed me. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Don't let a bad day ruin your good life. Understand that God will see you through, not just to get your stuff back, but to show you you need to get into a place of a more stronger position so that you go into a deeper commitment.
God wants your commitment. God doesn't want you to play with it. God wants you to go for it. And so don't stop when you lose some stuff. Just thank God, because you know that if you have your relationship and you have integrity, you're going to get your stuff back. I promise you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. On this Men's Day and Father's Day, my brothers and sisters, the doors of the church are open now. And this is special. You know, it's always special with the altar call. There's not a, you know, there's no such thing as an unspecial altar call. But how wonderful would it be for someone who doesn't know a Savior in the pardoning of their sins, someone who doesn't understand what it means to be saved in the ark of safety. How special it is to come on a day that we set aside to honor fathers and to honor the men on Men's Day and Father's Day. What an anniversary that would be for you. So my first call, if you need to know this Savior, if you need to know this God that David, when he had everything taken from him, he knew he had to go to the one place where his strength would come, and that was to the Lord. So if you need that relationship with God, could you come right out in the aisle and walk down, and the deacons will grab your hand and get a Lord your heart, as we say. Is there one in the church who have felt a prick of the Holy Spirit to begin to move on you? Do you feel a spirit troubling your spirit right now? We're clapping for you because we understand how important this is. This is a call that is essential to your whole salvation, to your whole being. This call is so important because it brings you and puts you in position that your stuff, you might lose it for a minute, but you're going to get it all back. Is there one who would heed the call, who would step out on faith, who would walk strongly and boldly and courageously? If you feel it stirring in your spirit, don't what look around. God, this is your time to get the salvation that's yours. Me. And if you don't have a church home, and if you know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of your sin, but you need to hook up with a good house where there's good preaching, good teaching, good community, good fellowship, people that will come out and welcome you in the family. The Church of Redeemer is yours. So if you need a church home, come on down and come into this family of believers here in South Philadelphia. Yeah, it's all right. And if you just are at a place where you thought about, I've lost some stuff, and maybe the word touched you in a way, but you say, I really do want my stuff back, and I was weak for a moment, I just need a special prayer. I just need a touch for someone who's touching God. The altar's open for a special prayer, just for some who feel that they just need an affirmation and reassurance. It can pray strength in you. We can pray strength in you, just as David strengthened himself with the Lord. Is there one?
It is for me.
Last call. I know we didn't have many visitors, but before I give the mic back to your pastor, can you help me witness to see if there's someone you may not know? Just witness. I know it's hard for some of the introverts, but witness to someone. You have a church home? Are you saved?
It is for me.
Amen. Amen. I turn it over in the hands of your pastor.
Come on, can we thank God for this awesome preacher on this Men's Day? Come on, come on, you can do better than that, church. We want to do this. Everybody, if you can stand, would you stand? Come on, put your hands together. Let's make one last push. Is there one, some man, some woman, some boy, some girl needing to give your life to the Lord? Do you need a church home? Do you need to rededicate your life? Are you sure that you're sure? Come on, let's make one last push. Come on, put your hands. Is there one on today? Are you here? Are you here? We want to be sure that you're sure. Are you sure that you're sure? Are you sure that you're sure? Amen. Going once.